Today's episode is brought to you by Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast. When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Klass as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.
Welcome to Stuff to Blow Your Mind from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hey, welcome to Stuff to Blow Your Mind. My name is Robert Lamb.
And my name is Julie Douglas.
Julie, have you ever gone on a silent retreat?
No, it's one of those things I really, really want to do and I really, really don't want to do.
Explain what this is for people who are unfamiliar with the term.
It's usually, you'll find it kind of like a Buddhist retreat in which you go, and it's usually like a woodsy environment, and you and your other retreaters sit in absolute silence, usually in meditation. But the point is whether or not you're eating, walking, meditating, silence prevails.
Okay. So it
for like 10 days.
Why not just go by yourself on a trip somewhere? And then you can have as much silence as you want.
Because apparently the deafening silence is so maddening that a lot of people struggle with it the first couple of days. And that even in that contained environment.
Uh-huh.
So can you imagine just trying to do this on your own and you're like, hey, I'll just go to San Francisco and have my own silent retreat. You're going to break out of that. You're going to belly up to the bar and be like, I can't. I got to talk to someone.
So you need the communal support to remain silent.
Yes.
Huh.
Drown out the maddening thoughts.
Well, you know, this reminds me of The Leftovers. I don't know if you've been watching this or read the book upon which it was based, but I've not read it yet. There's a cult in the book. And in the TV show, and they remain silent. They also wear white and they smoke all the time. I'm not finished with the first season, so I don't know what their deal is yet completely. But certainly it's something to keep in mind as we go through this episode.
That'd be something, you know, a smoking Buddhist silent retreat.
Yeah, I mean, certainly you have monasteries. There's a long tradition of monks taking a vow of silence in the Western tradition. So. So yeah, the idea that there is something to be found, something holy about silence, something therapeutic about silence, is a very old concept.
But also something very uncomfortable about silence. And we all have had that before. We've experienced that awkward moment in conversation. And apparently this is actually like a thing that people have tried to fit into a phenomenon, right? This idea that if you are in a group, that a hush will fall over the room after about 20 minutes or so.
Yeah, 20 minutes after the hour, even, is the specific version of this, which was news to me. The idea that you're hanging out with a bunch of people, it's going to suddenly be 120 and everyone's going to go silent. And, there are some crazy ideas for why this crazy thing could possibly be happening.
And, you know, the interesting thing about that is I bet that everybody listening has experienced that. You know, you've been in a group situation, everybody's talking, chatting, and then that hush falls over. But you probably have never said to yourself, it's 20 minutes after the hour.
Yes.
It must be because one of two crazy superstitions.
Yes. Now, the first one is the one that I'm more into, and that's the idea that, okay, first of all, buy into the idea that there are angels in the world, okay? Supernatural beings that do God's will, or perhaps don't do God's will because they fell from grace and live in hell now. It depends on which version of the story you go with, but there are angels. Maybe we can't see them, maybe we can, and they like to sing. And when they sing, their otherworldly voices are so beautiful, even if we're only hearing them with the subconscious mind, it just forces us to be silent. It just chills us to silence.
What I love about this is that apparently they start their heavenly doo-wopping like 20 minutes after the hour. And that's why we would instinctively fall silent so we could hear.
Are the clocks in heaven like 20 minutes slower than they're singing at the top of the hour? Or are they being patient, you know, waiting for us to be quiet so they can sing, and then they give up and they're like, all right, let's just start the show.
Right. Is there a heavenly chorus of angels for each time zone? How is this working?
Yeah. And I don't know. When I think of angels, I mean, when do they have time to sing? Don't they have a lot of death and destruction to lay out on mankind? It seems like it's a pretty busy work schedule. Why are there enough angels just to stand around and sing?
I like to imagine it's the cherubic, like fat baby angels that are doing this.
Oh, well, okay. I can imagine that. But the ones
that are in Steinmart, you know, they're like wooden cutouts with their hands underneath their chins.
Because the original cherubs in when you really go back into the mythology, they're terrifying. They're bestial human hybrids that are there to lay waste. But who's to say they don't have a nice singing voice?
I'm talking about the cute version here.
Okay.
Now, another superstition here is that because Abraham Lincoln was killed at 7:20 p.m. that we again somehow instinctively will commemorate the death of Lincoln at 20 past the hour, which this one has all sorts of holy logic in it.
And if I had not heard this yesterday, if I had not read about this online yesterday, I would think you were making this up right now, because this is even crazier to me than the angel idea. Because for the angel idea to work, okay, I have to accept that there are angels. I have to buy into the supernatural and admit that there are supernatural beings out there that are singing and causing people to go silent, and they're obeying some sort of crazy schedule. Okay, I can buy into that. On some level, I can buy into that. But to say that Abraham Lincoln's death resonated so strongly in human culture that it causes everyone to fall silent 20 mm-hmm. minutes after the hour, every hour apparently. And then you have to ask questions. Well, then is it only in the United States? What happens if you were pro-slavery? You know, what happens if you're just, you just don't have a good understanding of history? Or
well,
is it something so powerful that it moves forward and backward in time?
Well, that was the thing I was going to say. In a linear way. Like, mm-hmm. that also supposes that before Lincoln died, there was no group hush, right? Like, there was just a continuum of conversation, and no one ever paused. But we were coming up with a different theory here earlier.
Yeah.
And I guess you could call it the 420 theory.
Yes, because that's another 20-minute after trope that comes up, right? That 420 is the time to consume cannabis.
Right. And so the idea there maybe is that after the consumption, it takes about 20 minutes for the wall of stonery to set in which the group hush becomes apparent.
So people are actually lighting up at 4 as opposed to 4:20.
They lit up at 4, and at 4:20 is when the crushing silence of stonerism set in.
Okay. All right. I could see that possibly being. So you're saying it could be the cause of the phenomenon. Because another read would be that it stems from the phenomenon. Like, suddenly everybody's quiet, and so out of that social anxiety, they light up.
You know, these are just musings. These are mid-morning musings over coffee. Probably the better explanation is that it's just a natural arc to our narratives, and maybe 20 minutes into a conversation, we've kind of plumb the depths of a joke or a topic. There is another explanation, however, that is called the protection postulate.
Yeah, and this one's pretty good. This one's significantly less crazy, though also, you know, not completely proven out. But this is the idea that, you know, again, we're going to travel back in time to primordial age. Mm-hmm. We're out there.
Around the fire.
Around the fire, yeah. And we're talking about our day at work, killing animals and foraging for food.
Mm-hmm.
And then a hush falls over us because we have to stop and listen to for the sound of approaching predators coming to eat us at our fire. Or or approaching rival tribespeople coming to slay us in the night.
You know what? I think there may be something to that, I have to say. I think there's something to an arc of a conversation, and mm-hmm. I think there's something to a group falling silent as a sort of instinctive measure to gauge what's going on outside that environment.
Yeah. Because you know, we've all had those conversations that are so good, you're just completely wrapped up in it, and you kind of reach the height where you have to fall down again. You have to realize, oh, I'm standing here in a room, and it's kind of awkward, actually, because I don't really know this person, and I was just really drilling into them with my whole diatribe about the Ring movies or something.
Yeah, and now they're crouched in a corner.
Yeah.
And a silence has fallen over the room. I love that, though. I love when the silence falls and everybody just kind of, like, nervously titters, and there's that one person who's like, whoa!
Oh, yeah.
Oh, gotten quiet.
And then they call out the awkward silence.
Yeah. In any case, all the silence leaves us with something that feels, you know, very intimate, but sometimes very isolating. It's like this bubble that surrounds us. And so we're going to talk about this today, this idea that within silence, there's a merit to it. And then there's also kind of a demerit, I guess you could say, to it.
Yeah, it kind of calls back to our episode, Splendid Isolation, that we did back in the day, where we talked about how, you know, a little isolation is great. A lot of isolation, not so great. You can have and we encounter a similar situation with silence. So let's start off by discussing the merits of silence, the benefits of silence, blissful silence.
Well, and we see this a lot in terms of education, people exploring the idea of silence in reflection as tools in the classroom. And if you look at Helen E. Lee's work, she's a research fellow in educational theory at University of Stirling, she posits that classroom silence really helps college students to consider, retain, and reflect on her lectures. And she actually brings an egg timer into the classroom with her and sets it for 3-minute intervals twice during the class. And I thought about that, and I was like, you know, that is actually, I think, a very helpful concept, because anyone who's ever been in a lecture or any sort of situation where there's a ton of information coming at them, you can't help listen to your brain try to react to that information, mm-hmm. draw conclusions and connections. But if you're just trying to keep up with the material itself, it's hard to really let all of that coalesce.
And indeed. I mean, just thinking back to, say, some of the World Science Festival panels that we've attended, you know, you're being hit with so many great concepts and different ways of looking at history or the scientific world, and you just need to stop and digest it. But instead, you're moving on, you're rolling on to the next comment, and you're just like, I really hope that I got my notes down on that one, and I can check all this later.
Shout out to Astapro for sponsoring this episode and providing us with free samples.
Rob, as the local host with allergies here, they sent you some of their nasal spray to treat your allergies. What was your experience like?
Yeah, that's right. I always wrestle with the pollen a bit when it rolls in during the spring. So they sent me the little nasal spray. I tried out the product, and yeah, it sure did help me get on top of my symptoms for the day. And it's so fast acting, it was already kicking in before I left the house.
Astapro is a first-of-its-kind nasal allergy spray. It's the fastest 24-hour over-the-counter allergy spray. It starts working in 30 minutes, while other allergy sprays take hours. Astapro is the first and only 24-hour steroid-free allergy spray. Astapro delivers full prescription-strength indoor and outdoor allergy relief from nasal congestion, runny and itchy nose, and sneezing.
Get fast-acting nasal allergy symptom relief with Astapro. Go to astaproallergy.com for a discount so you can get Astapro and go today. Astepro allergy.com. Astapro and go. Use as directed for relief of nasal congestion, runny nose, sneezing, and itchy nose due to allergies.
Today's episode is brought to you by Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast. When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Klass as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast from Ruby Studio in partnership with Intel. Explore the future of technology that's rapidly evolving our world today with the help of AI. There's still so much work and research needed to fully understand the power and potential of AI, and Intel is at the forefront of implementing AI in revolutionary technology that's changing the world we live in for the better. In each episode, Graham interviews the minds transforming medicine and healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more while pioneering new uses for AI in these spaces. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Today's episode is brought to you by Visible. If you haven't heard of Visible, now you have. They're the wireless carrier that's making wireless visible. It's in the name. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 a month, every month, taxes and fees included. Having a one-line plan means you only need you to save. No estranged roommates, exes, cousins twice removed, or AI-powered humanoid robots needed. And because $25 a month really means $25 a month, you can call, text, stream, whatever, as much as you want without worrying about getting dinged at the end of the month.
No hidden fees, no surprises. No, really. It's like the old saying goes, you can't judge a book by its cover, but you can judge a company by its name. So spread the word. Tell all your friends there's a wireless company out there with transparency in their name, and they're called Visible. Start saving on wireless today at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan for data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road, the steeper the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend? Or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Yeah, Philip R. Golden, he's a researcher. He says parents and teachers tell kids 100 times a day to pay attention, but we never teach them how. Mm-hmm. And so what some of these schools have been doing is they've been drawing on the work of Jon Kabat-Zinn, who is a molecular biologist who pioneered the secular use of mindfulness at the University of Massachusetts in 1979, initially to help medical patients cope with chronic pain and anxiety and depression. So what you see is his mindfulness work beginning to be used in K through 12 schools here in the United States. And the idea is that those kids have a little bit of time to focus on what they call a design element, which is solitude and reflection. And even my kid in kindergarten does mm-hmm. this in her classroom. But you'll see it at different levels as you go up through the grades, the degree to which some of these kids will actually engage in mindfulness.
Now, it's worth noting when we look at mindfulness and meditation, some of the core health benefits that have been proven out in studies. So it lowers blood pressure and it lessens agitation, which even though those are concepts that definitely have a role in the treatment of ailments, they also have a key role in education and reaching students, particularly students who may be themselves agitated.
Yeah. And we've kind of touched on this before, that students aren't getting educated in how to live their lives per se. That's mm-hmm. largely left up to guardians and parents. So you can't really treat a kid's depression, but you can give them a couple of tools to work through that anxiety, say, in school, and be able to focus themselves better on schoolwork. There's something called the Mindful Life Project. It's a nonprofit that's based out of Richmond, California, and it teaches mindfulness and yoga and therapeutic art and hip hop performing arts to elementary students in underserved schools and communities. And all the schools have seen drops in detention and referrals. But in one school, 18 kids accounted for 82% of the suspensions. And at the beginning of their mindfulness training, those kids were suspended 62 times in the first trimester. Now, after three trimesters of this mindful practice, that rate had dropped to 20.
Wow.
Which, think about these kids. They obviously are acting out. They're exhibiting certain behaviors because they are agitated, because there are some root problems going on. To know that 62 times down to 20 was the drop, and just having these moments of silence and reflection is really powerful stuff. And that's just this really tiny corner of this pocket of the educational world.
Yeah, I mean, certainly when you start thinking about, I mean, really all ages of children, but especially middle school, high school, there's so much angst, you know, there's so much to distract yourself with even when you're in the classroom, that being able to just stop everything and still everything and then kind of teach in the aftermath, in the wake of that silence, that would be incredibly beneficial.
Yeah, and we've talked about how behavior has this kind of group contagion quality to it. So if that's the sort of thing that you're doing in the classroom, that and everybody is stilling themselves, then you begin to see that positive ripple effect.
Now, here's another study that gets into the use of silence in a classroom environment. And this just comes down to not so much the noise inside the mind, but the noise outside the head and even outside the school. 2005 study from the University of London aimed to understand the psychological impact noise might have. And in this experiment, researchers studied 2,800 children in 89 schools. Now, some of these schools were located next to airports, while others were not. They found that children exposed to high levels of aircraft noise had much poorer reading skills than children in quieter neighborhoods. And the researchers used the term cognitive fatigue to describe why reading skills might suffer in children living in noisy environments. So in these conditions, their long-term memory is interrupted and they simply stop paying attention. So we see the importance, again, not only of some inner silence, some inner peace, so you can actually digest the information coming at you. You can actually shut out some of the angst and take it in. But also, you know, we're organisms that exist in a world of sensory bombardment. And if you can cut out some of that bombardment, if you can cut out some of the environmental noise coming at you from trains and planes and whatever, then that can have an effect. You can take just a little bit off of the cognitive load so that you can handle some more of the concepts.
And that's kind of interesting because you can then apply that to what Felicity Miller, who is a senior lecturer in science communication at Imperial College, says when it comes to people in the sciences and their intellectual progress. Because what she's saying is that there is a big initiative to enforce interaction.
Ah, yes.
And we've talked about this, too, in open office spaces, this idea.
Yeah, you see this trend all over, really.
Yeah, that you're just going to spark and you're just going to collaborate all the time and genius will arise.
And it comes from a good place because we've also talking about the importance of interaction, the importance of collaboration, how the coffee houses of old were, you know, a place that sparked innovation because people were drinking coffee and sharing ideas together. Mm-hmm. But you can't take that to the extreme and say, all right, we're going to do that everywhere. Every office is going to be a coffee house of ideas. Every classroom, every laboratory, you just can't. One size does not fit all.
Yeah, and that's what Mailer is saying, especially in the academic setting. And she says, hey, you have to have some sort of silence and solitude to really make all of those ideas coalesce into something meaningful. And to make her point, she says, hey, look at Sir Isaac Newton. She said that he was a proponent of isolated working, shutting himself away in his rooms, publishing reluctantly and restricting his audience to only those he thought capable of appreciating his work.
Huh. And you know, he also had cat doors so the cats could come in and out without disrupting him. Little flaps.
Another reason why he was a genius. And she says that, you know, if you look at physicists today, they don't quite have that level of solitude and silence, and that they do best by striking a balance between silence and communication. And she gives a couple of other examples. Werner Heisenberg, she says, retreated to the island of Heligoland to escape hay fever and the constant chatter of his colleague and mentor Niels Bohr. Who knew that the quantum theorist was such a chatterbox? And she's
not to be confused with Legoland, of course.
Yes.
Horrible place to go and try and work.
Yes. Heligoland is not Legoland. She says that it was here that Heisenberg was able to reflect on these discussions that he had with Bohr and lay down the basic foundation of quantum mechanics.
And another great example, Peter Higgs has claimed that he would not have been able to complete his Nobel Prize winning work in this current research environment. He insists that the peace and quiet that he had in the 60s in order to actually tackle his work, he just would not be able to have that today. So that's interesting to think of as well.
So the idea is that if all we're doing is engaging, which is really easy for us to do in this day and age, particularly with social media, then we're missing a key part of reflecting on our experiences and then the formation of new ideas with those novel associations, that we have to have that silence in that time. And you could argue that, hey, my brain does it when I sleep.
Yeah.
But as we have talked about before, we're like probably less efficient at sleep now in this day and age than we ever have been before.
Yeah, yeah. If you're falling back on sleep alone for your information processing, then you're really walking a fine line. You're going to fall.
Today's episode is brought to you by Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast. When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Klass as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast from Ruby Studio in partnership with Intel. Explore the future of technology that's rapidly evolving our world today with the help of AI. There's still so much work and research needed to fully understand the power and potential of AI, and Intel is at the forefront of implementing AI in revolutionary technology that's changing the world we live in for the better. In each episode, Graham interviews the minds transforming medicine and healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more while pioneering new uses for AI in these spaces. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Today's episode is brought to you by Visible. If you haven't heard of Visible, now you have. They're the wireless carrier that's making wireless visible. It's in the name. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 a month, every month, taxes and fees included. Having a one-line plan means you only need you to save. No estranged roommates, exes, cousins twice removed, or AI-powered humanoid robots needed. And because $25 a month really means $25 a month, you can call, text, stream, whatever, as much as you want without worrying about getting dinged at the end of the month.
No hidden fees, no surprises. No, really. It's like the old saying goes, you can't judge a book by its cover, but you can judge a company by its name. So spread the word. Tell all your friends there's a wireless company out there with transparency in their name, and they're called Visible. Start saving on wireless today at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan for data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend? Or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Today's episode is brought to you by eBay. eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then, through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles in a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
All right, we're back. We're talking about silence and the role that silence plays in our lives, in our world. So far, we've talked about the importance of silence when it comes to quieting inner turmoil, quieting outer turmoil, its effects on our ability to learn in school, our ability to get things done at work, to tackle new concepts and turn them around, and ultimately work on inventive new concepts.
But there's a different kind of silence that people experience, and it's more in a social situation, but it can actually color our experiences and cultural experiences. In fact, it can color history. And what I'm talking about is the spiral of silence.
This is an interesting theory that comes to us from German political scientist Elisabeth Noelle Neumann, developed this in 1974. And basically the idea here is that people have the tendency to remain silent when they feel that their views are in opposition to the majority view on a subject. And it's very interesting, of course, that this comes out of Germany in 1974, you know, definitely coming in the wake of the Second World War, in the wake of the rise and fall of the Nazis, in the wake of the Holocaust, where you have, you know, individuals inside and outside of the German people asking the question, you know, how could this have happened? How does this extreme take on global affairs, and how does this become the norm? How does all of this rise to power, right? And so this is in a way an attempt to look at that, you know, to say, well, you know, why didn't people speak out when there were these extreme opinions in their midst? Why did they remain silent instead of saying, you know, that's actually a really dangerous idea?
Yeah, and the extreme actions that ensued, and this is what Neumann was predicating her model on. And the model is based on three premises. One, that people have a quasi-statistical organ, a kind of sixth sense, or the ability, I guess you could say, the ability to read the room to figure out what the prevailing public opinion is. Two, that people have a fear of isolation, and they know what behaviors will increase their likelihood of being socially isolated. And three, people are reticent to express their minority views because of that fear of isolation. And she says that the spiral is created or reinforced when someone in the perceived opinion majority speaks out really confidently in support of the majority opinion. And then, of course, those in the minority kind of recede to the shadows.
What I love about this theory is that we can, pretty much everybody can plug their own experiences into this, unless you're one of those individuals that I can scarcely imagine who is always in the majority, you know, who has never had an opinion that differs from those around you. For instance, you're hanging around some people you don't really know, and they're talking about a movie that you really like, except they hate it. You may not feel comfortable saying, "Hey, actually, I really like that movie because of X, Y, and Z," because you're already outnumbered by those who dislike it.
Yeah, and I'm sure everybody has been in a social situation before in which your minority view is held, and you don't necessarily want to speak out to the majority, even if you feel like what those opinions that they're expressing are terrible. You know, because again, there is this idea that the majority is there. You might be socially ostracized, and you see this, like, from, say, you know, just your cultural tastes to something as terrible as the Holocaust, as Neumann was trying to figure out. Like, how do these, what sort of models in place here to keep people under wraps? And so I think that's why this idea or theory is so powerful, because it does show how people tend to express themselves or not express themselves. And one of the perceived weaknesses of this theory is that you have minority views that are expressed, like super exceedingly expressed yeah. by some members of the group, which I guess you could say would then become known to the group, and then that minority view would be expressed and cancel out this idea of the spiral of silence. So that's one idea here that kind of goes against the model. Another idea is that the internet, the great internet, is leveling the playing field. There's all these different pockets of opinions out there, and therefore they should all be expressed equally, right?
Okay.
But no, that is not the case. So that is sort of an outmoded idea of one of the criticisms leveled at the spiral of silence, because it turns out that the internet is actually, at least in one study, mimicking the model for the spiral of silence.
You know, and before we get into that, I also have to add that in my own experience, when I find myself in a group that's, you know, among people that are not my group, mm-hmm. you know, I'm often don't engage with them, like, for some, I feel like some other reasons as well. Like, and a lot of it comes down to, you know, me versus other. So it's like, I know that you guys have a different opinion on things than me, and I am not going to try and convince you because you are the other. And why would I, you know, I know that I cannot convince you, and I don't want to convince you because you're basically a different species than me. You know, it's kind of, it's like if I hear some people talking about how great football is, I don't particularly like football, but why am I going to even chime in on that conversation? What's my possible agenda in contributing and creating some sort of artificial argument over that?
This is why common ground is so incredibly important. This mm-hmm. ability for each of us to find that common ground. So you like wrestling.
Yeah.
I know this.
And this is another example. Like, that's something that I often don't bring up. I generally don't bring it up because people are going to look down on me. And it's a long, I have a hard time understanding myself why I like it. So,
but I guess my point is that I think in these conversations and in these common ground, there's some crossover. And so there's mm-hmm. these opportunities for humans to understand one another, which is largely what we try to do, is to find that common ground. But when we don't, again, it's this idea that we're going to be socially ostracized. And a lot of us don't think much about that. Okay, whatever, I'm going to be socially ostracized. But really think about it. I mean, the ability of the human species to have existed for as long as it has largely been because of cooperation.
All right. And cooperation means finding that common ground, but also gauging what the group thinks and choosing your battles, you know? And sometimes it is just a matter of choosing your battles and saying, why would I possibly bring up something at the dinner table that I'm going to fight with my in-laws about? You know, why? That would just be silly. But then also there are examples. Why would I bring it up if it could get me ostracized or killed? You know, and certainly there have been countless examples of that throughout history when someone has a differing religious opinion, differing sexual orientation or gender orientation, et cetera.
And that's currently at work in our modern world as well, right? Mm-hmm. That's not just the stuff of days gone by. All right, let's look at this Pew Research Center study. They wanted to see how hot button topics were being expressed on the internet, specifically in social media. So they selected the topic of Edward Snowden revealing mass surveillance by the NSA to look at how opinions are being parsed. And the report's author said, quote, "We selected the issue because other surveys at the same time were fielding this poll showed that Americans were divided over whether the NSA contractors' leaks about surveillance were justified and whether the surveillance policy itself was a good or bad idea." And so the Pew Research Foundation found that in one survey, 44% of people said that the release of classified information harmed public interest, while 49% said it served public interest. So you have a topic basically here that everybody has an opinion on.
Mm-hmm.
So the Research Center's Internet Project found that not only were the 1,801 respondents less willing to discuss the Snowden NSA story in social media than they were in person, face-to-face, but they also determined that average Facebook or Twitter users were especially less likely to voice their concerns during real life interactions if they felt that their friends or their followers would not support their viewpoint. So again, this is just one study and it's relatively small. It's one topic. It would be really interesting to see this in other areas like gun control or abortion or many other topics that are lightning rod topics. But you do, at least in this instance, see that model at play where people do not want to be socially ostracized, even though they have an opinion on this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the media plays a huge role in it. There was another Pew study that looked at the 1991 Gulf War and U.S. support for that war.
Mm-hmm.
And they found that those who watched television and perceived that the public supported the war were more likely to support the war themselves, which again plays into this idea that if, you know, even if we don't agree with something ourselves, if we feel like the majority is directed that way, then that can sway our opinion as well. Now, Snowden, I mean, the thing about Snowden, though, is that I feel like at the heart of that, you do have a difficult figure to get behind, you know, and you have these different pulls. I feel like this whole topic is made more complicated, too, just because you have such a polarizing figure at the mm-hmm. center of it. I mean, you have the personality of the individual thrown in there. You have elements of alleged treason.
Mm-hmm.
You have criticisms of how he handled it. But then you still have lots of damning evidence about the use of domestic surveillance and other revelations.
Yeah, Snowden is a polarizing figure. And I'm not going to say like Snowden and Julian Assange are apples to apples because they are not. But mm-hmm. here you have another person who is, you know, essentially leaking secrets of governments, who is a very enigmatic character and not polarizing, but polarizing in a more of like a hero, anti-hero way, as
right.
opposed to Snowden is more a little bit like people aren't quite sure, I think, about his character. And so I think maybe you bring that up because that could certainly color the results of how or why people want to express themselves about the topic.
Right. Yeah. And in the labels we end up putting on those individuals. I mean, we could go on and on just comparing those two figures
mm-hmm.
That are both problematic in their own right.
But what to do with all of this information? Well, I think it's just to consider, again, the nature of silence and what it's doing for us as human beings. And I think that Susan Sontag has a great thought about it. This is from her 1969 essay, The Aesthetics of Silence. She writes, "Silence remains inescapably a form of speech." So it's sort of one of those things that, yeah, sometimes we feel like in not expressing our opinion that we're removing ourselves from the situation. However, it just means that we're allowing one voice to dampen another. And as Newman tried to explore the ways in which action spiral out of the spiral of silence.
Indeed. And, you know, I want to advise everyone to keep this topic in mind when you listen into our next episode of Stuff to Blow Your Mind, which will get into the area of mass hysteria, where, again, we're dealing with how we behave within a community, how we think within a community. And it's like all things human. It gets so complex and strange.
Indeed it does, especially with teenagers.
Yes.
Yes. All right, you can find us in a bunch of places, mainly stufftoblowyourmind.com.
That's right, that's the mothership. That's where you will find every podcast episode. Occasionally we get an email or a Facebook message where someone says, "Hey, I was looking for this episode," or, you know, and it doesn't seem to be on iTunes. Well, all the episodes are at the website. So if you've ever heard us mention of an old episode, you're just curious what we've covered over the years, that's where you will find all of them. And you'll also find videos, you'll find blog posts, and you'll find links out to our various social media accounts.
And if you have some thoughts about the spiral of silence or even the merits of silence, you can send those thoughts via email to blowthemind@howstuffworks.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit howstuffworks.com.
Today's episode is brought to you by Visible. The future of wireless is here, and it's transparent. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 a month, every month, taxes and fees included. No hidden fees, no surprises, no, really.
What are you waiting for? Get with the times and switch to Visible at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit visible.com.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.
This is Amy Brown from Four Things with Amy Brown. Today, healthier is happening at CVS Health in more ways than you've ever seen. It's wellness destinations for seniors, including select locations with Oak Street Health and CVS Pharmacy. It's doctors, nurses, pharmacists, and everyone in between offering quality care and support virtually, in person, and on the phone. It's in-home evaluations through Signify Health and meeting mental health needs through Aetna. And those are just a few of the ways that healthier is happening. To see more, visit cvshealth.com/healthierhappenstogether. CVS Pharmacy, Oak Street Health, CVS Specialty, Signify Health, and Aetna are part of CVS Health. Eligibility and services vary by location and individual.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.